This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is sponsored by NVIDIA, the inventor of the GPU. NVIDIA's Tesla GPUs are designed to accelerate HPC applications. Learn more by visiting NVIDIA at SC11, www.nvidia.com/SC11.
This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry, with Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
Airbus embraces HPC as a service.
And HPC vendors take on big data.
Hello, everyone, and good morning for HPC Wire Soundbite for October 21st, 2011. Available every Friday on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and I'm joined once again by Addison Snell of Intersect 360 Research. Good morning, Addison.
Good morning, Michael. How are you doing this week?
Pretty good. Getting exciting out there. We're only, four weeks away till the supercomputing conference?
Big event. Everyone's busy trying to get everything done, right?
Indeed, that is the case. Not a whole lot of news this week, but there was a story that I covered a while back. In fact, this is actually an older story about Airbus. They announced they had deployed some HP pods, those containerized pods, a few weeks ago. Actually, they deployed them this summer, but they announced it just a few weeks ago. And I got a chance to talk to Airbus on how that was working out and sort of what went into that deal. And I found some kind of surprising news there.
Well, so it looked like they were not just buying the pods, but they had some kind of interesting lease arrangement going on with HP.
Right. They didn't buy the pods at all. I mean, they were installed on Airbus property right next to their true data center, but they weren't in a data center. And they basically leased them as a complete service. So HP basically installed them, set them up, installed the software, supported the software, paid for the electric bill, cooling, just about everything, and they're basically buying this thing as a service. They just hook up to it, and it's a lease arrangement. They pay a monthly bill to HP, and Airbus, of course, wouldn't talk about how much that bill was, but from what they told me, it made a lot more sense for them to do that, to actually buy these systems on their own.
And what was the motivator there? Facilities costs? Was it data center space?
Well, some of it was around the difficulty of buying things up front, just the financial,
the capital expenditure.
Yeah, and it was just easier for them. The way he explained it to me, it was easier for them to spend the money incrementally to buy HPC capacity than to buy a system all at once, to put all the money up front and then try and depreciate. In fact, their depreciation cycle doesn't work very well for things like this, because they want to replace their systems every 3 years, and the banks, they don't care about HPC. They want to depreciate hardware like this every over a 5-year term.
Right.
So basically, their last 2 years, they're out of luck. And it's not like all their computing equipment's like that, but HPC is, because the technology moves so quickly, it doesn't make sense for them to keep it longer than that.
Well, and these capital expense versus operating expense arguments have been around HPC for a long time, and the buy versus lease argument is something we're studying in our current budget map survey that we're analyzing right now. We'll be looking at the percentage of lease versus buy. That doesn't fully explain going to pods, though, which are typically deployed in situations where they're also out of data center space.
Right, and they do have a data center there at Airbus, but it's filled with their systems. Basically, all their systems that do pre and post processing for the HPC cycle. So that stuff is there for a longer period of time. They don't refresh that every 3 years. And I wasn't actually quite sure if there was space in there or not. I mean, the pods were basically, I think, selected because it was less expensive to run those, and that money was passed along to Airbus in the least, less expensive as far as power, space. They just basically need electricity and a water hookup to set them down somewhere.
In this case, they get to lease the facilities cost in addition to leasing the equipment.
Right. So it just made more economic sense to get the pods in this case. And this is, they've actually been doing this a while. They started their pods deployment a couple of years ago. There's one in Hamburg. They put another one in Toulouse, France. And then actually the one in Toulouse got replaced this summer by two more modern pods with the latest CPUs and InfiniBand in them this summer. And then they basically retired the older pods. So they've got three pods spread across Germany and France right now, but they're all on service contracts. And even before that, I mean, Airbus made this decision a while back. They had IBM systems that were on IBM data centers that they were basically buying as a service.
Right. Well, yeah, this does expand it more to the notion of a complete service for delivering the systems, although in this case, Airbus is still running their own applications. It's not like right. the HPC applications themselves are being delivered as a service. Exactly. Those pods, I mean, you know, Chris Willard had done an analysis where as we go, have gone through the generations of scale out, we've talked first about hitting the memory wall, and then people were talking about hitting the power wall. Now, what a lot of people are running into is they're hitting the wall, as in they're hitting the physical wall of their data center. It's an actual wall that's being hit. And in those situations, that's where we do see these containers getting deployed.
Right. I mean, we, you know, we've talked about this a little bit. We haven't seen a lot of deployments of them, but it seems like we've talked about a couple at least recently. And these ones go back to 2009 or 2008 even. So Airbus has been on this for a while.
Right. Now, this is related to some of the other, you know, HPC as a service kind of concepts with on-demand. You know, we've talked about SGI has them out there and R Systems has it out there. Penguin is now actually advertising pricing for its Penguin on-demand services, which is actually a different kind of pod, I guess, POD.
Different POD there.
But, you know, to actually get the pricing out there advertised and everything lined up around 20 cents. I think it's 20 cents per core hour and 20 cents per gigabyte month of storage, kind of putting a flag in the ground in terms of how much you can rent access for in that methodology.
Yeah, I think the only other vendor out there that actually puts pricing out there on their website is Amazon. They have an HPC portion to their service too, and I think they advertise their price. And most of these other guys like IBM and some of the others, SGI, I think they don't talk about pricing publicly. You have to kind of call them up and wheel and deal a little bit.
All right. Well, we took a look at this. Now, these things aren't exactly cloud. You know, it's more of a different sort of as a service or leasing agreement. I guess it could be cloud the way you think of it. Why don't we take a break and we'll come back with something else that sounds like cloud that isn't cloud.
Accelerate your HPC application with NVIDIA Tesla GPUs. As a companion processor to the CPU, Tesla GPUs are designed from the ground up for HPC and deliver industry-leading performance per watt. To learn how Tesla GPUs can accelerate science and engineering, visit NVIDIA at SC11, www.nvidia.com/SC11.
So, Michael, I made a crack right before the break about things that sound like cloud and aren't exactly cloud. So tell me about what happened with Cloudera this week.
Right. Cloudera, which is not a cloud company. They have a distribution of Apache Hadoop that they've developed and they support. And they teamed up with SGI, and they're going to build basically Hadoop appliances that they're going to sell to people who need these big data type application systems. Now, actually, SGI has been in the Hadoop business for a while. They've sold thousands of these clusters with Hadoop, but I think this is the first time where they've actually sort of building, you know, pre-configured appliances around these things, and Cloudera is a big name in the Hadoop business, so they were sort of the logical choice to go to.
Now, this is continuing a trend of HPC vendors lining up around big data, whether it's Hadoop or different types of big data applications. Microsoft already had, what was it called, Project Daytona in this space. And a lot of the storage vendors are talking about the different types of big data applications and how they pertain to HPC storage technologies.
Right. This is starting to infiltrate not just HPC, but basically every element of computing in the enterprise. I mean, the data-intensive applications are basically spreading everywhere. And certainly, I mean, they've been in HPC for a while. We've called them data-intensive applications or informatics in certain cases. But yes, they're here to stay. And the vendors are certainly recognizing this. And then they've been doing this for a while. I mean, DataDirect likes to say, we've been in big data for 10 years.
Well, and that's not wrong. And we're working on some things with DDN, also with Panasis. We did a white paper on the relationship between big data and private storage clouds. You know, to say that DDN or Panasis or BlueArc, you know, any of these other HPC storage companies has a heritage of big data is not a, I mean, it's a very reasonable statement.
In a way, although people have to realize big data is not just about lots of data. It's about doing a lot of computational analysis on that data, putting the data in motion quickly, using it to create, you know, real value, not just storing big data. It's not about that at all. So, yeah,
I agree. But the point, Michael, is that when you line up the technologies necessary to do that kind of analysis, and you look at the throughput necessary, the compute necessary, there are a lot of HPC technologies that come into play.
That's exactly right. It's the HPC technologies that are entwined here that are enabling this big data thing. All the parallelism and the distributed computing and the high-powered computation is enabling this. That's exactly it. And that's why I think some of the people that we cover are getting into this kind of early, because they're leveraging their hardware and their expertise and their software in certain cases to do this. We just talked about SGI and Microsoft and some of the storage vendors. But I mean, even Cray has got, you know, big data offerings now,
absolutely. This will be the subject of our next major research study. We're kicking off a big data study looking at the different types of application requirements in big data, how they relate to HPC, and we'll look at it from a standpoint of not only the application requirements, but what they mean for compute, for cloud computing, for interconnects, for storage, and how well do the current technologies align with what's important to end users and what their satisfaction is with the existing technologies.
Right, and obviously we're going to be covering this as well, and we've already covered it, and it's just becoming, you know, a much bigger portion of what HPC is about, and like I said, what a bigger portion of what all enterprise computing is about.
Well, why don't we take one more break, Michael, and then after that we'll come back and I'll give you a stat of the week from our most recently completed study.
Excellent.
This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite has been sponsored by NVIDIA Tesla GPUs. Visit NVIDIA at SC11, www.nvidia.com/SC11.
So, Addison, you've got a stat of the week for me. I always like these because I always get them wrong, but I still love them.
No, these are fun. Our most recent study was our annual budget map survey, which we've been running every year now, going back for 4 years of data. Now, the purpose of this study is to ask end users how much money they spend among different categories and on items within different categories. So the top level categories: hardware, software, facilities, staffing, services, cloud, utility outsourcing is a category. Hardware has always been the biggest category in this. So my question, Michael, is what do you think the percentage of HPC budget is that goes to hardware? You've got your HPC budget on average across all sectors. What percent of that money goes to hardware?
I'm guessing it's under 50. I'm gonna guess 30%.
It's a little better than that. It's 36, but it's been falling steadily for the last 4 years. When we first ran this survey, it was as high as 44%. So we've actually lost 8% of that over only 4 years, which is a pretty quick drop in how much money people are spending in hardware relative to other things.
Okay, so I guess 30%, I'm just a little ahead of my time, I guess. It'll be that in, 4 years or something.
Well, yeah, you're a little ahead of your time, or you might have been forgetting all of the different hardware components, because hardware in this case includes servers, includes storage, it includes the networks, which are all right, broken out the next level down. The interesting thing is to look at which categories have picked that up, and it's gone – mostly to facilities, which has grown considerably over 4 years, and then also the emergence of this cloud utility outsourcing, which was barely zero in 2007, but has grown to be a solid 3% of budgets, which doesn't sound like a lot when you say it overall, but when you compare it to the amount of spending on servers, you realize implies that there's a decent utility computing market out there now in HPC.
Okay, yeah, that is interesting, and yeah, I'm not surprised that the amount of or the percentage of hardware cost is going down. I would definitely think that would keep on that trend, and especially with more utility computing being tapped into, that'll accelerate that as well.
Well, Michael, thanks a lot as always. I know it's always busy in the weeks heading up to supercomputing, but we're going to keep at it every week up until the show.
Yes, we will. Okay, until next week, we'll bring you the next clutch of news, and I'll talk to you then.
All right, thanks, Michael.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.